thank you very much, Rose. And maybe there may be two or three questions, perhaps, before we go off to the next meeting.
Yes.
Rent them out because it's impossible to get renters out. I have heard that if someone leaves a privately owned house for vacation and squatters just come in and take over, it is impossible to get them out. Is that so legally impossible?
Well, the question is, I use the illustration that anybody with six spare rooms dare not rent them out because you can't get people out once they're in. They're like an internal parasite. Okay. Once you've gotten inside the place and they'll drive you out by reggae parties through the night or whatever they are doing. I mean, what happens about squatting when they go on holiday?
Yes.
The law has been tightened about that. This is something we do achieve things from the Conservative benches still. I'm glad to assure you of that. It has been tightened. There is no problem now in getting them out.
There used to be, but
the law has been changed on that. We can now actually get them out. But the terrible thing is the waste of housing stock that is going on. I have a political surgery once a month in my constituency where people can bring problems to me themselves. And I have the biggest single council house block in the United Kingdom, with 5,250 living there. It makes up 5% of my constituency and provides half of my problems. And they're all coming wanting to get out. Nobody wants to live there, but nobody can afford to buy because of what they're paying in rates and taxes. It is a vicious circle that destroys the free society. Yes. I don't find myself in alliance at all with them. I have great respect for Stephen Hasler, who has been here, and Eden and others, Douglas Eden, but I don't find an alliance. I think you're back to what was drawn on the board by, who was it yesterday? McCarthy yesterday. It's the balance of where you're going. We'll move the country further to the left if we ally with them. It's our job to win, to move the country right to us. There is no point of messing. It has gone too far for that. I mean, the great triumph of the Erhard government in Germany in 1947-48 was it changed the basis of German politics. So the Social Democrats, through the Bad-Godesberg Declaration, could not gain power until they said they'd cease to be a socialist party. If we align with the right-wing moderates which in the Labour Party, which I wouldn't lie with at all, I mean, to me, they are the Trojan horses. If we align with them, we move the balance of British politics to the left upon there. If we actually have a genuine free enterprise linked with the rule of law, linked with the strengthening of the police and military defence of our country, and we won by, say, 400 or 500 seats in the House of Commons, that would swing British balance of politics to the right, and the moderates would then have to follow us. I ain't following them. They must follow me. I know where I'm going upon it. Yeah, that's right, yeah. That's right. I'm glad you asked that question, particularly following the discussion on the Founding Fathers in America, and I'm certainly going to read all the material about what happened then. There's not the slightest chance in Britain of this happening at the present time. You have to have an agreement between enough people within the parties before you can set up a constitution. At the moment, the Labour Party wants people's courts, and basically the government of the mass and the hanging the rest of us. I mean, it really is true as to how far the left wing of the Labour Party has gone. They have to be seen to be believed. as to how far there. You cannot call a constitutional conference till you have certain things in common. There is nothing now in common with them who want a socialist mass state and those of us who want the rule of law. And the Bill of Rights and the Magna Carta are not, as far as we are concerned now, worth the paper they're written on. It's a very sad thing to say, is that, but there's no point of beating about the bush. They are not accepted by their side. Unfortunately, it is 150 years since the Elder Peel fit, for whom I have great respect, and whose photograph rests in my study, as you know, and I have plates on the wall of him, said that. In the British Parliament at the present time, the Labour Party accepts no limitations on its power to do what it wants. And there is no constitutional limitations upon it. This is why I desperately throw for my referendum. Because the referendum is actually beating them at their own game. Instead of actually being ruled by small cliques of left-wingers, I am saying let's go to the people and let's see what they want. What you said, as somebody quoted this morning, the sovereign people, a greater sovereign or something. It was a phrase used this morning. I can tackle them on that because that worries them. Instead of talking about a constitution, I say, OK, let's have a referendum about that. Let's do a public debate at the Miners' Lodge. That's what they don't like. Because the Labour Party basically has no mass membership in Britain. We have a mass membership. I have 8,000 members. Those of you who know the British Constitution, you don't register as to which way you're going to vote. But you can actually join a party. But it's quite a job to join a party. But 8,000 of my 72,000 voters are members of the Conservative Party. I doubt if there's 100 members of the Labour Party in most constituencies. There are some constituencies that have not 50 members of the Labour Party, and they're run by cliques of trade union leaders, left-wing socialist strots, and people of this type. And I believe we can only beat them by going to the referendum. By all means, we'll have the constitutional conference when we've won. We can't have the constitution. I mean, when we've won, and when I've got 615 Tory MPs out of 635, I'll call that conference, and you must come. Where is it? You're from? Where are you from in the States? Texas. Somebody said, I thought you last night pointed that you're out to me from Texas, and you must come and advise me at that time. Yeah. Do you want to take a last one?
One more.
Yeah. All right. Good question. It depends upon will. In last resort, in war, given equal materials, it believes on the will for victory. The will for victory is communicative will, and it must come from the leadership down. I did 18 years in public education in Britain, and I was the head of some of the biggest schools in Britain. And if any teacher said to me, how do I keep discipline in my classroom, I sent him home. He'd lost before he went in. He must go in that classroom believing he's going to be in charge. If he's going to ask me how to cope, he's never going to cope. I mean, because it's rather like animals, they can smell fear, can children. There is no doubt about it. My mother, unfortunately, who's died, one reason I have to fly back tonight instead of, I mean, privileged to stay, but I hope to come back later this year. The estate's longer this time, and her funeral is on Monday. She was the daughter of a farmer in the sort of, almost a log cabin. She was as young as a 14 on a hill farm in Lancashire. And she actually could go through a field with horses in it, and no horse would chase her because she loved horses, but she feared bulls. I've always liked bulls, and I could always go through my grandfather's and my uncle's farms with bulls in the field. They never worried me, but they worried mother. Now, that's perfectly true. I have never been chased by a bull, but I've been chased by a horse because I'm frightened of horses. Goodness all knows why, but my mother has never been chased by a horse, but she's always chased by a bull. And it's exactly the same in politics. If we worry for a beginning whether we're going to court, we've lost. And I believe you have to turn what I said yesterday, and it's a political, not a truism, it's a great political thought. You work out what is your weakest point, and you deal with that first. Don't wait for them to bring it up. You deal with it. Thump them on that, and they'll run away from the rest. If I was leader of the Conservative Party in Britain, which I am not, they've never asked me to be, as yet, but if I was leader, I probably never will, but if I was the leader, I'd take the unions on within 3 days of getting back. When you've got in with your majority, don't wait till you're pinned up a corner like Mr. Heath was pinned up a corner. But you say within 3 days, right, we're going to outlaw the closed shop, no more than 6 pickets at the place of work only, no supplementary benefits to strikers, and we're taking this to a mass referendum tomorrow, and we'll debate these on the hoardings. So you actually take the point where we were brought down by Mr. Heath, where the Wilson moderate Labour government was beaten similarly in 67-68, we take that and we thump them upon that then. And after that, it'd be plain sailing. But it is no good going back. And to be careful what I say here. But why, let us live dangerously upon this. At least one enjoys life that way, and it's not my usual to buy peace upon it. I do not believe that the Conservative movement can buy peace with the trade unions. We can buy peace with the trade unionists when we stop their leaders, but not till then, because they're as much trapped by their leaders, by the closed shop, than anybody else. So we take it on for a beginning, and I believe you. All the experience is now, in our by-elections last year, 60% of the trade union voters were voting Tory, a bigger percentage in those areas than the non-trade union members, because they were weary of being pushed out around by their leaders. You take them on, and we can win. But if we buy peace when we get back, then, well, it will mean that some people have to go and battle on the back benches instead of fighting from the front, but I wouldn't like that reported.
Thank you very much, Rhodes, for a very informative and useful, I think, a talk. You'll be happy to know, by the way, that Clement Attlee would have agreed on your last point. I once heard Attlee say, it's been very important to strike while your mandate is hot. Yeah. And there's no reason why a conservative can't use a hot poker now and then. Anyway, we have the next meeting is in, fittingly enough, the Brent Room. I didn't mention your constituency because I always called it Boysenland myself, but I understand it is called Brent North.
They can always tell that you're going to provide cheers because people are cheering in the streets.
Yeah. It's like a constitutional government beginning at the Potomac, this side, of course. All right. Well, thanks again.